Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about new comments from Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess. We've also got news on Tesla insurance, an update on the cold weather issues that Tesla's been having, then some news in the supply chain, an interesting new trademark from Tesla, and a couple other things as well. All right, well, looking at the markets, kind of one of those we had them in the first half kind of days today. Tesla finishing up barely 0.06% to $996.27 after the NASDAQ did open pretty far in the green and trailed off throughout the day, falling by 1.3%. And hitting the lowest closing price in basically 7 months, the last time the NASDAQ closed lower, June 21st, 2021. Broadly, the markets are going to continue to be interesting as we now head into earnings season, and of course the Fed meeting next week. In terms of earnings, Netflix kind of kicking it off today, and it is down as I'm recording now about 13% after hours despite beating on earnings per share. Obviously, that's not the only earnings consideration, outlook and things like that. Haven't had a chance to read through the note myself, but clearly not the strongest start to earnings season to help the markets regain any confidence. All right, moving on from the stock, I want to start off today with a new interview from The Verge of Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess. This was a lengthy interview and a few interesting points in here from Diess. First off, he's talking about Volkswagen's electrification plans. Previously, they had said that they do want to target 50% of their sales being EVs by 2030, so about 5 million vehicles or so, which before we even get into Diess's stuff, just again for context, Tesla's targeting 20 million. 5 million is probably more in line with their targets for 2025, 2026 time period. So we continue to hear the media talk about Volkswagen passing Tesla in terms of electric vehicles shipped. And that's not really even within Volkswagen's targets, so just level setting that first. Anyway, getting into the Diess comments, he was asked about another one of Volkswagen's targets, stopping the sale of gas cars in Europe by 2035, asked if that was data-driven by the availability of batteries and infrastructure, or kind of where that target is coming from. He said, quote, "Not necessarily. I think this transition in EVs has certain constraints. I think the plan to get to 50% EV by 2030 is extremely ambitious. If we own, here in Europe, about 20% market share, for that 20% market share to maintain 50% EVs, we need 6 gigafactories. Those factories would have to be up and running by 2027, 2028 to be able to deliver on our 2030 goal. It's close to impossible to do that," end quote. Now, seems like Diess usually tends to be a pretty straight shooter, but not necessarily the most comforting thing to have the group CEO say that their targets for 2030 are close to impossible. I mean, you could look at it as just trying to express how difficult what they plan to achieve is, and maybe just a poor way of expressing that from Diess. That would certainly be understandable, but again, not the most confidence-inspiring statement. His mention of 6 gigafactories there is also a good opportunity to review what Volkswagen's plans are. They don't actually intend to start the first one of those until 2025. That will be in Germany, then they expect to build 2 more in Eastern Europe and Spain. They say that the exact locations for those will be decided in the first half of this year, or at least that's what they said previously. Then they say they expect to open 2 more battery cell factories in Europe by 2030. That gets you to 5, and then the 6th is a factory from Northvolt. So basically, Volkswagen intending to go from 0 all the way to 5 gigafactories from sometime in 2025 to sometime before 2030. And then in stark contrast to what Tesla seems to be planning, Volkswagen seems to suggest that these 6 factories will be supplying their European demand. So if that's 50% of sales, that's somewhere between 1.5 to 2 million vehicles, with the batteries from those vehicles coming from 6 different factories. That's what Tesla seems to be planning to do from one. And at this point, we're just talking about Europe. So for Volkswagen to get to 50% worldwide, they're going to need another 2-3 million more vehicles and the batteries for them. And I guess right now it's not exactly clear to me where they plan on getting those from. So yes, there is a lot of time left. All these questions don't need to be fully decided on today, but for Diess to already be talking about it as being close to impossible, I just don't think is really the best sign for Volkswagen's targets, which as we just talked about, they did end up missing their targets for 2021. Yes, a lot of weird stuff going on, and they did show pretty good growth, but just pointing that out. I also find Diess's next comment to be a little bit concerning, especially in tandem with this first one. So he says, quote, "The second thing is that electric cars only make sense if the energy is renewable, only if the energy is really green energy that comes from wind or solar or nuclear. As long as we have nations based on producing electric energy from coal, it doesn't make sense to sell electric vehicles there," end quote. So this is a topic that goes back a long way, probably even prior to Tesla existing. Elon even addressed this in his secret master plan for Tesla back in 2006. He was comparing to natural gas in that piece, but even more recently, Bloomberg New Energy Finance has done research on this, and they've concluded that even when using coal, EVs come out as cleaner, plus you remove the tailpipe emissions, which are also problematic. So you look at what Diess is saying here today, and then you compare that with what Elon was saying back in 2006, and even though Diess is generally an advocate for EVs, there's still a pretty stark contrast here, and things like that can tend to permeate throughout the culture of the organization. So a little bit disappointing to see Deese using that argument. And again, you could give him the benefit of the doubt and say, oh, well, if you have the choice to put an EV in a coal heavy energy producing country or something with more renewables, then yes, it definitely makes sense to take advantage of the renewables. So it's, I suppose, possible that this is just another case of poor phrasing, but I think that's more of a stretch in this case. A couple of other interesting comments in here I wanted to highlight. First, Deese was kind of reflecting on how the EV industry has developed thus far. He was talking about having to try to convince suppliers to build up supply. He mentioned pushing CATL to develop automotive batteries, and he said, quote, I tried the same with German first-tier suppliers. They would have been well prepared. Bosch, Conti, you name them, I tried the same approach. I knew that we would need a huge amount of battery cells. The turnover of our battery cell business perspective of 2030, when we would build 50% EVs, will have a turnover only for the internal demand of $20 billion, which is half the size of Bosch. It's a huge business, but I have to say, I could not convince any of our first tiers besides CATL to invest in batteries, which I regret, end quote. So I highlight this because it pairs well with a couple of the things we've talked about from the Credit Suisse note, from the Alex Potter note. The confidence for electric vehicle demand is now there, and doubly so for Tesla, given Tesla's track record and their extreme growth targets, which suppliers would love to be on board for portions of. The other comment was more about short and medium term stuff. So Deese says, quote, my outlook for 2022 is very, very positive, except for the chip supply. We suffered a lot. We lost market share in China because of the chip supply, and in Latin America because we prioritized the higher spec cars and the premium brands. That was quite a difficult situation, and we have to see that this is a structural problem which will continue. We will still have constraints. We will manage better than last year. We had quite a good start the first 2 weeks, but there are constraints visible. Those constraints are structural because the chip demand is growing so fast, and we are very dependent on second and third tier supply from the chip manufacturers, end quote. He added that he is quite sure they'll see constraints through 2022 and that hopefully by 2023, they get back to being able to satisfy demand. All right, moving on, we've got an update here on Tesla Insurance. Tesla has updated the insurance website, and they have now noted that they are offering real-time driving behavior-based insurance in Arizona, Illinois, Ohio, and Texas. So previously, we just had Illinois and Texas. We've now added Arizona and Ohio. Remember, Tesla does offer Tesla insurance in California, but it's still sort of that 0.5 version, not based on those real-time telematics. So slowly but surely, Tesla continuing to cover more and more of the market with Tesla insurance. Arizona and Ohio are 2.3 and 3.7% of new vehicle registrations in the United States, respectively. Tesla's numbers may be a little bit different, but basically another 6% of the market now covered by Tesla insurance. Adding in Illinois and Texas, that was about 13% of the market before. So these two new states now bringing Tesla's coverage up to 19% of the US market, about a 50% increase. And again, those numbers are just for the telematics-based version. If you include Tesla's insurance in California, that's another about 11% of the market, bringing it up to 30% coverage. So fun to see that progressing, and I expect we'll probably see Washington next. That'd be my best guess. And of course, Tesla has said that eventually they do plan to offer it in all major markets. All right, next up, we've got some news on the supply chain. There's been some conversation recently about Steel Dynamics because they're getting pretty close to opening up, or maybe they have opened up their new facility in Texas near the Gigafactory. And of course, alongside that, there have been rumors about them supplying Tesla for the Cybertruck. It looks like those are at least premature. Bloomberg reporting that they have spoken with Steel Dynamics VP Barry Schneider, who last month told Bloomberg, quote, I can absolutely confirm we are not currently an approved supplier to that facility or that platform. We will aspire to work towards becoming an approved supplier to Tesla for the products that we are capable of producing, end quote. Because there was some more reporting on this earlier this week, Bloomberg did check in again with Schneider, who said that nothing has changed. And he also added that, quote, stainless steel is not something we have ever discussed being equipped to produce, end quote. I also know there are a few holdouts expecting Tesla to somehow surprise and announce Cybertruck production is happening or happening very soon. I've been very, very much against that point of view, but I have seen that rumor tied to Steel Dynamics, so hopefully some clarity there. And of course, none of this means that Steel Dynamics can't end up supplying Giga Texas, but it does seem like so far some of that reporting has not been correct, so just passing that along. All right, next up, we've got kind of an interesting report here from Electrek. They've found that Tesla has applied for trademarks for both the Tesla name and logo for, quote, the categories of microphones, headphones, earphones, digital audio players, sound transmitting apparatus, audio speakers, subwoofers, ear pads for headphones, audio interfaces, audio equalizer apparatus, horns for loudspeakers, and megaphones, end quote. So, interesting to see. Could be as simple as Tesla trying to protect those categories and not have Tesla merchandise pop up in them. Or maybe Tesla has some intents to take some of the audio experience that they have leveraged for their vehicles. We know they've got an audio team, and maybe apply that into some of these other categories. I mean, we know Tesla likes their limited edition merchandise. Maybe something pops up there And with Tesla testing out Doge, maybe we end up seeing something in these categories that is Doge natively priced. All right, next up, we've got potentially an update on some of the cold weather issues that we've been talking about over the last week or two. This update from Tesla Owners Club of Alberta was sent to me by a listener, and it says, do not update to software 2021.44.30.7/8. They say it is now killing the heater on non-heat pump cars as well. They say that over on the Tesla Model 3 Canadian group, multiple people are now reporting their heater has failed after updating and unable to fix it by doing a soft or hard reset. And some of these vehicles are out of warranty, so not a good situation there. I think if I had a heat pump, I would still probably update, but maybe if you have resistive heating, then wait a little bit just until we have a little bit more information. I can't verify this, so take it for what it's worth, but I also don't just want to sit on it if it could potentially help some people out. So hopefully we'll continue to get a little bit more information on this. If you know more, definitely pass it along. And I'll, of course, keep an eye out as well. All right, last item for today then. Elon was asked on Twitter, quote, can we get the air suspension in Model S/X to automatically raise quickly if the car detects a dip in the road ahead and then remember the location for next time? Would be an awesome feature to have. End quote. Elon just replying, yeah. So maybe a cool feature there to look forward to. It's kind of hit or miss on these kind of things. Sometimes we see them added very quickly, sometimes not at all, but definitely would be a nice feature to have. So that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, January 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.